141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic agree a fee for winger Benjamin Nygren. Rangers head out at the SFA after being fined for John Brown's comments, and Stuart Finlay reunites with Derek McInnes at Hearts. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon DL.
Well, it's great to be back in the hot seat, Andrew. I've missed the last 10 days. But nice to be back, just keeping up with everything. Transfer market, not as busy as what I expected. One or two teams obviously try to make a move because big important games are just round the corner. Massive news from Rangers with John Souter. I think there's a lot of Rangers fans out there, quite rightly so, not happy with the situation. But you just wonder what's going on, and you look at everything else, and we're looking forward to a terrific start to the season.
Yeah, the transfer window hasn't been too busy so far. You've been a busy man though, haven't you, away in your travels?
Yeah, I've been out and about and taking a well-deserved break, taking a little bit of a rest, but still listening to the show, listening to the guys, and looking at, you know, like everyone else, you get up every morning, you're looking for transfers, you're looking, especially the big two, you're looking for who they're going to bring in, because they're big, big games coming up. We've already know that Rangers got their new manager in. They'll take over the 49ers. You know, but all the rumours seem to be negative just now. You look at, is Cyril Dessers going to beat Rangers next season? Is Nicholas Raskin going to beat Rangers next season? For me, two massive players. John Souter is a massive blow, and their big games just round the corner.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Celtic fans, looks as if there is movement on that deal for Benjamin Nygren, the Swedish winger, who looks as if he's going to be possibly the next in the door at Celtic. Of course, Kieran Tierney has already made his move to the club. What do you make of that? Are you happy with that deal? He's got 6 months left on his contract. Looks as if Celtic will pay around £1.7 million to get him this summer and bring him in a bit earlier. Earlier, Rangers fans, we got a bit of talk on it last night, but it was quite late news. John Souter, there was that story that he could potentially be a doubt for these European games coming up. They're not too far away as well, against Panathinaikos, because he delayed surgery until after the international break, after the Scotland games. Is that something you're frustrated about? It's believed that Rangers medical staff signed off on that as well. Is that something that you hope, you obviously hope that he's going to be fit, or are you frustrated at the way that that has panned out? What about fans of other clubs? What are you thinking about the business done by your teams? I saw that St Mirren have signed Jaden Richardson, the former Aberdeen fullback. Stuart Finlay going to Hearts as well, being reunited with Derek McInnes. What do you make of anything that's going on? 01419511025. And as has been the case all week as well, if you get on the show and make a point, you'll go into the draw to win a pair of club badges for Ayr Racecourse's Summer Race Day, which is happening this Saturday. So that could be your weekend sorted. All you need to do is phone in, make a point, and you'll be in the draw. There are seven races. JLS's Marvin Humes will be on the decks as well. And if you don't win the tickets, you can still buy them as well at ayr-racecourse.co.uk. 0141 951 1025. Just to touch on that Celtic story, we've heard it for a few days now that Benjamin Nygren is looks as if he could be the next in the door at Celtic. What do you make of them targeting a winger, potentially more than one winger as well, the way that rumours are going? Is that something you expected Brendan Rodgers to do in this window?
100%. If you look at the situation they've got in the wide areas, I think for everyone, Maeda, for me just now, through the middle, is absolutely terrific. One player of the year, rightly so.
Is that where his future is for you?
Yeah. Look, there's always that possibility he could go back and play in the left-hand side if they get centre-forwards in. But right now, if you look at Celtic squad and you were picking their team tomorrow, Maeda is your number one centre-forward. I think he's brilliant through the middle. I think he puts the fear of death into defenders. He can get his goals. He scored a lot of goals last season. One player a year. Yes, he can still do a job in the wide areas. But if you look in those wide areas, you look at, for instance, Jota out for that long-term injury. You look at James Forrest another year again, and I think James Forrest can be a brilliant squad player coming off the bench, but I don't think he's a starter every single week. Yang has sort of struggled. So I'm not surprised. I don't think it'll be the only wide player that comes in. Brendan Rodgers loves this wide players with bags of pace, bags of energy, attacking football. So I see this just as the beginning. I think he'll bring in more.
People talk about player trading models, and we've seen Celtic have had success with that, you know, over a number of years now. Is this the type of deal that you feel makes sense for Celtic? He's only got 6 months left on his contract. They're going to, looks as if, pay a fee of £1.7 million, which isn't too much money, to try and bring him in a bit earlier in this window, maybe try and beat out that competition that of people trying to get him on a free transfer. And the hope will be that he can then turn into a player that will obviously be a big contributor for them, but that they can maybe go on to sell for a big
I think that's the way Celtic do their business now, Andrew. They look at and they target young potential. Okay, people might say 23 isn't young, but there's a lot of football still left in a lad. 1.7 million for a team with the sort of riches that Celtic have got is not a big gamble, you would say. So I think it's good business. We don't know what the lad can do. He's come to a big club, a lot of pressure. We know what like it is. Brendan Rodgers is well renowned for bringing on young players. So I think it could be a real good bit of business for Celtic, because they definitely need players in those areas.
0141 951 1025 on the phone. Celtic fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on that potential transfer business. We want to hear from you on that number. And Rangers fans, still that story from yesterday that is lingering about John Souter. Gareth is a Rangers fan on the line. Gareth, how are you feeling about that?
I've just seen the producers there. I think it's a bit wrong that Rangers signed off it when he's a Rangers player. Rangers pays his wages, and at the end of the day, I understand they want to play for Scotland and stuff, but if he's going to be missing key games for Rangers, then surely that's not really right, to be honest. I just think he should be available for everything. At the end of the day, we're paying him a decent wage, so he should be available for them games.
Yeah, the report in the Daily Record yesterday, it says their understanding is that this was signed off by Rangers medical staff. There's always going to be this sort of, you know, club and country debate and about players getting injured. Are you surprised, if that is the case, Gordon, that John Souter didn't go in for this surgery, you know, right at the end of the season, as soon as it was done, so that it would give him the best chance to be in for as early as possible for pre-season?
Yeah, what we'll say, and let's be honest about it, if it is, I'm not surprised, Andrew. I'm amazed. I can't believe, because John Souter, you look at Rangers' situation just now, okay, there's still plenty of time to get players in. If John Souter's missing, they've left themselves quite short just now. And I think it is worrying. And I can't understand why John Souter was allowed to go with the Scotland squad when he's going through an operation and may miss the beginning of the season. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, if it was a case of it was the most important game for Scotland to go and reach the World Cup, I can take that on board. But it was two friendlies that John Souter, and even there's talk about John Souter maybe should have been in, had this operation done before the season even finished. So it amazes me, and I find that very hard to believe, that Rangers medical staff would sign this off. Now, we've heard the rumours, and as I say, we don't know if it's 100%, but if it is 100%, that's the case, I think Rangers... Really, I am amazed what they've done here.
It may well be the case, Gareth, that John Souter is fit and he does play in these games, but is it that risk, the fact that, you know, the club, if they have decided to take that risk, is that what sort of bemuses you?
Yeah, definitely, yeah, because at the end of the day, he's a key player. We've been quite short in the past with certain positions in defence and stuff, and he's really a key player. He showed that last season, so again, that's why I'm baffled that the Rangers... medical staff would sign that off.
If you look through Rangers squad at the moment now, at the end of the season, you take John Souter out of it, and what Rangers options at centre-back? And bear in mind that these games at the start of the season, these qualifiers are vital. They're some of Rangers' most important games of the season. You look through the options that Rangers would have aside from John Souter. There's Robin Proper, who I think many fans have had their doubts about. Clinton Nsiala, probably in the same boat, a young player as well. Dujon Sterling, not his natural position. James Tavernier's played there as well, not his natural position either. Leon King, a young player who hasn't quite proved himself at Ibrox yet. If those are your options outside of John Souter, does that make it an even bigger concern that it's not as if there is that reliable backup and those reliable options there.
Yeah, and I think Ben Davies has come back.
Yeah, Ben Davies back from his long spell.
Yeah, yeah. So if you put all those in the mix and you put Suter beside them, Suter will be the number one centre-half. Of that, there's no doubt. And I think, look, we could be wrong. He could be ready. He could be fit for the start of the season. But I just think that it was such a big risk to take. Now, you look at, I've heard it before and I've looked at some of the comments that are coming out that some of Rangers fans are saying, look, he should have been in before the end of the season because Rangers weren't going to win any silverware. So you've got to prepare. This is a massive season for
Rangers. Is there an issue there that Barry Ferguson would have had to have signed off on that? Probably Barry Ferguson would have had to have signed off on it. And if you are a manager, Barry Ferguson made it clear he wanted that Rangers job. He wanted to give himself the best chance to get that job permanently. Is there any way that he would have turned around and said, yes, if this is, you know, their number one centre-back, let him go away and have surgery and then he'll be left with other players?
I totally take on board that Barry Ferguson was desperate for a job, and if I was in the same position, I'd probably be looking to play my most strongest side, my best players in Suter at this moment in time, and the centre-back position comes under that category. Right, and I'm not blaming Barry Ferguson. I think Barry was 100% right. But people above Barry, who probably knew 2, 3, 4 weeks before the season ended that he wasn't going to get the job, let's be honest about it, and I think a lot of people knew that, and deep down inside, probably Barry knew that, look, I'm edging towards not receiving it full time here, then I think you take that out of Barry's hands, and I think you take the pressure off of Barry by sitting down, having a chat and saying, look, we're going to go down a different route. New owners are coming in, but we need to make sure we hit the ground running. You can't risk players that are your number one centre halves. You can't risk them. I think they've missed a trick here. I really do. They've taken a gamble with Suter. Now there'll be Rangers fans out there, and probably one or two will phone in tonight and say, "Well, look, he's not been in great form. He's not." But John Suter just now, you've read out the list there of centre halves. John Suter, out of all that, is the best centre half Rangers have got.
We mentioned it last night. Celtic had every situation with every player, sort of injury status is different, but Celtic had an issue with Cameron Carter-Vickers that basically, when the league title was wrapped up, they decided get him in for surgery. It was a sort of quick tidy up so that he was back in time for the Scottish Cup final. Is that the way you feel Rangers should have handled it? Not in terms of getting him back for end of season games, but just trying to get it done as early as possible if there are games that maybe don't have any meaning attached to them.
If they've known this before the end of the season, then I think they've mismanaged John Suter. I really do. I think they should have had John Suter in, operated, rested, rehab, ready to go for the pre-season training.
What would that have been after basically the Europa League exit?
Yeah,
is that the
because look, they were always going to finish second, right? They were never catching Celtic. They were not in the Scottish Cup. So there was a perfect time to say, right, okay, we're going to take you out the situation. We're going to get you ready. You're a important player for us. And I keep going back to the new manager was coming in. Russell Martin was coming in. We didn't know at that time it was Russell Martin. But you've got to give him every opportunity as well. You've got to be fair to him. You can't be risking number one centre-halves. I just find it baffling. And I think the majority, and Gareth's one of them, of Rangers supporters will agree.
Gareth, how are you feeling just generally about the new season and the transfer business that is, you know, looking to be done at the moment? Max Ahrens and Kwame Poku are the two that are most heavily linked.
I'm a bit on the fence regarding Russell Martin, but you've got to get behind the manager and to give him every backing we can. And I think the four signings that's been reported and rumours that he's coming in is Cody from Leicester, another two lads as you said there, and the lad from, well, I can't remember the other one, but hopefully they'll all come in, and if he gets the right ones that he wants, if he's involved in that from top to bottom or whatever, then it'll be good signings, and hopefully it'll have a good season.
Well, thank you to Gareth, 01419511025. Andrew is a Rangers fan in Govan Hill. I think, well, we did have Andrew. I think we've just lost him. We will try and get him back very quickly. But just on that, Gordon, when it comes to the transfer business, has enough been done yet, do you feel, by Rangers? And the thing is, you can always say this and then signings come around the corner, yeah. And lots can get done in a few days. But did you expect more to be done by this point?
Honestly, yes, I did. The new manager was announced. I think the structure's in place, and I like the structure. I know that there's doubts about Russell Martin, and we had phone calls that night. A lot of Rangers fans not particularly pleased with the announcement. I've always said you've got to give him an opportunity. He's got to come in. He's got to get players to work with. He's got to be given a chance. He's got to be backed. I think the structure of Rangers is very good now from top to bottom. But I think, like every Rangers fan out there, every day they're getting up, they're probably thinking, hold on a minute, we want to get players in this building. Now, yes, there's no panic just now, but as the day ticks away, they've got one of the biggest games ever against Panathinaikos. I think it's the 21st of July, am I right round about that?
Yeah, it'll be the 22nd or 23rd.
Right, okay, I'm one day out. And I just feel that if I was Russell Martin, I'd be wanting more bodies in the building, because he's got to work with them. He's got to put his style of football over, how he's going to play, what formation he's going to play. That takes time. That takes hours of work in the training ground with a new manager and new players. So, yes, I would expect more in. I know that it's difficult sometimes. We've had it before with Celtic as well. You know, Celtic fans on here saying, why is it taking so long? You look at, I think it was Adam Eder. You know, a lot of people couldn't believe how long that was taking. Obviously, agents and other clubs and players and financial situations, that all comes into the mix. But I thought Rangers would have had one or two at least in the building by now. More.
We do have Andrew in Govanhill back. Andrew, what are you making of that John Souter situation?
No, I'm actually disgusted with John Souter, by the way, because he knew what he was doing. He knew there was no manager at Ibrox, right? He's known he could. What's he got to play friendlies in Scotland for when he knows?
Yeah, there's also that point of, I'll put that to Gordon, that point about John Souter as well, because the club, obviously, the report suggests that the club gave the all clear for this, that John Souter was allowed to play in these games and then would have the surgery afterwards. Would that suggest that John Souter wanted to go away and play for Scotland? And the thing is, there are a lot of players who go out there and, you know, playing for the national team is a real proud moment for them. I'm sure John Souter is one of those players. Is it tough to balance that in terms of he'll have wanted to go and show Steve Clarke his best to try and keep him and Steve Clarke's plans, but then also trying to juggle it and making sure that he's back in time and fit for Rangers?
Yeah, I think there's a mixed bag, and there's a lot of feelings here. You look at three people that are obviously Rangers medical staff that signed it off. People are looking at, well, why did Barry Ferguson not keep playing John Souter? Why did he keep playing John Souter when Rangers had absolutely nothing to play for? Was it because he was selfish and he wanted a job? Now, get back to it. I understand why Barry went down that road, right? I've no qualms whatsoever about that. Then you look at the player himself. Now, if I was in that situation, John Souter has got a lot of caps still to go and win, because he's a very good centre-half. He's a very, very good player. But you've got to, first and foremost, commit to your club. Your club's the most important thing. They're the one that pays your wages. They're the ones that depend on you week in, week out. You know what I mean? To play with Scotland is, you know, brilliant for every single player. It's a great award for them. But your bread and butter's your club. And if you feel that you had to go for two friendlies, meaningless games, then, and put the fact that you could be under pressure for the start of the season, I think John Souter has also got to take a bit of responsibility.
Well, thank you to Andrew. 01419511025 on the phones. Remember, if you get on air this week and make a point, then you'll be in with a chance of winning club badges for Ayr Racecourse's Summer Race Day, which is happening this Saturday, so that could be a good weekend out for you. But we want you to phone in for this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now, Gordon DL is just back from his travels, back from holiday, so does it mean he's refreshed and ready to go, or does it mean he doesn't have a clue what's going on in the world of football and you'll get an easy win against him? In fact, he's played three times so far in the Summer League and he's lost twice. He needs to improve that record,
I
surely.
But do, yes.
Can you pilot the misery on him? 01419511025. Your chance to play Gordon DL at Beat the Pundit next.
You are- are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to get your calls in as well. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, maybe you have a bit of chat to add to what was said about John Souter and his situation before the break. Maybe you're a Celtic fan keeping eyes on your transfer business, or fans of any other clubs that are looking forward to seeing what you're going to do now that the window is open. 0141 951 1025. And remember, all this week, if you phone in, you get on air, you make a point, you'll be in with a chance to win a pair of club badges for Ayr Racecourse's Summer Race Day this Saturday. But now it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Something's going on with this summer league that we've got on the go at the moment. Marvin Bartley has played three and won three. Mm-hmm. Scott Allen has played played two and won two. You won't believe this. Ross McCormack has played three and won three.
No, I wouldn't believe that. Has he won three out of three?
Yep, joint top of the table with Marvin Bartley.
It showed you pre-season training. It's friendly games, isn't it?
No. This is serious competitive stuff.
No, it's not.
You're just saying that because you're sitting bottom of the table. That's all.
Am I sitting bottom?
Well, you've played three, won one and lost two. So
who's just above me?
Hugh.
Ah, me and Shug. We'll keep that going.
Yeah, it's not looking great. We'll see if you have any more luck against Paul, who is going to be up next. Paul, did you phone in because you feel Gordon might be off form off the back of his holidays?
Well, hopefully anyway.
Oh, Paul, you've not a problem here. Let me just say that to you.
Have you got any help with you, Paul?
I've got Kenneth.
Ach, no.
I phoned last night, got beat off Ross McCormack.
Oh, there we go. Kenny, who's in the car with him, lost to Ross McCormack last night.
So I've got Paul and Kenny, who's wounded from last night, two against one.
You just slaughtered Ross McCormack there. This guy lost to Ross. Surely,
yeah,
he might
know one question that Paul doesn't.
Or he might be chucking in wrong answers. You never know. Might work. Might work both ways.
What was the score?
I can't.
How many did you get, Kenny?
Oh, I think it was 4-3.
Ah, oh, there you go. So he's going to help Paul.
It was two nights ago, wasn't it, Ross McCormack? It was, it was Scott Allen last night who won 6-2, and it was a win, 4-3 it was for Ross. So I'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Gordon DL, who is already moaning at this. And it will be 30 seconds on the clock for Paul and Kenny to answer as many questions as you can. Paul, can you be the one that tells me the answer, please? Kenny can whisper some answers to you, but I need the answers loud and clear from you. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well. Is that all good?
Aye.
Let's do it. Who was Celtic's top goal scorer in the league last season?
Dyson Maeda.
Falkirk's latest signing, Scott Bain, started his career at which club?
Dundee.
Celtic target Benjamin Nygren is what nationality?
Swedish.
True or false, no Scottish players are at this year's Club World Cup?
True.
Who do Rangers face in the Champions League qualifying rounds?
Panathinaikos.
Hearts have signed Stuart Finlay from which club?
Kilmarnock.
Who was Dundee's top goal scorer last season?
Simon Murray.
Okay, we will bring Gordon DL back in. Gordon, ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Go.
Who was Celtic's top scorer in the league last season?
Maeda.
Falkirk's latest signing, Scott Bain, started his career at which club?
Dundee.
Celtic target Benjamin Nygren is what nationality?
Swedish.
True or false, no Scottish players are at this year's Club World Cup?
True.
Who do Rangers face in the Champions League qualifying rounds?
Panathinaikos.
Hearts have signed Stuart Finlay from which club?
Oxford.
Who was Dundee's top goal scorer last season?
Am I the ginger boy up front? No! That's mental! I can see him!
I'm going to time you out. 3, 2, 1. Oh, I cannot believe you've not got that. You're going to get it in the next 3 seconds as well, but I'm not going to count it. How'd you feel that one went, Paul? Kenny?
I thought it could go to a tiebreaker, to be honest.
Right, we will go through them. He still has his head in his hands, Gordon Diaz. Has it still not come to you?
No, I've got...
This guy is miles off it after his holiday. Miles off it after his holiday.
He signed for Ross County. I was shouting for him to be in the Scotland squad. What is his name?
Right, we'll get to that. You just calm down. I think you need a wee nap over there. stressing yourself out. Right, who was Celtic's top goal scorer in the league last season? Nice and easy one to kick things off, Daizen Maeda. You both got it, one all. Falkirk's latest signing, Scott Bain, started his career at which club? You both said Simon, Dundee.
Simon Murray. Did he start at Dundee?
He didn't. He started his career at Aberdeen.
No, he didn't.
He did. His career at Aberdeen. Never played for them, but started his career.
So he didn't start his career there, did he?
There. Yeah,
if you don't play, you don't start your career there. You start your career where you play first game.
Okay.
Did he say Dundee?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So either way, doesn't matter. Stays 1-1. Celtic target Benjamin Nygren. Is what nationality? You both said Swedish. You both got that correct. 2-2. True or false? No Scottish players are at this year's Club World Cup. You had a 50-50. You both said true. You both got it right. 3-3. Now, this next one, I think there's a bit of debate on. Who do Rangers face in the Champions League qualifying rounds? Gordon DL said nice and clearly, after stumbling a slight bit, Panathinaikos. We're going to do a VAR check, Paul and Kenny, because I'm not 100% sure that it was Panathinaikos you guys said. It sounded like a bit of a hybrid between Panathinaikos and Olympiakos. And I'm going to get, I don't know, do we have the audio that we can play out? Or is a producer just going to tell me whether it was said or not? Or should I come back to it? Right, it's getting ready at the moment, so we'll make that. We'll make it 4-3 to Gordon DL for now, and we'll come back to it and we'll see how it's going. Hearts have signed Stuart Finlay from which club? Paul and Kenny said Kilmarnock.
Oxford.
You said Oxford United, which is the correct answer. He was on loan at Kilmarnock last season from Oxford United, where he has joined on loan. So
I'm chucking these two away.
5-3 to Gordon DL.
Simon Murray.
Who was Dundee's top goal scorer last season? Gordon DL didn't get it.
Oh, I did get it.
But Paul and Kenny did. They said Simon Murray, which means for now it is 5-4.
Let me hear this audio.
But it could be, I'll decide. Could be 5-5. Let's hear it. Who do Rangers face in the Champions League qualifying rounds?
Panathinaikos.
Oh, not a chance! Not a chance! Never heard of them. See you, boys. Good night.
Once more for me. Who do Rangers face in the Champions League qualifying rounds?
Panathinaikos.
Not a chance. Boys, hang up. He's not a chance. You're not getting that.
I'd love to accept that and take it to a tiebreaker, but I don't think I can.
Boys, seriously, two years together, hand in heart, do you think you should get that?
Aye, we knew what it was.
I knew what it Simon Murray was, but I didn't get that, did I?
He just stumbled with pressure.
Ah, exactly. Well, I stumbled with holiday situations.
I'd love to take this victory off of Gordon DL, but I don't think I can do it. I don't think it was close enough to Panathinaikos. So the sign ball is staying in the
tiebreaker
studio
just in case.
Yeah.
Aye.
Does that not just further complicate that? So are you putting it on the line then for the tiebreaker?
No, because I need a victory.
Put it on the line. On you go. Put your money where your mouth is.
Right, come on, boys.
There
I'll
we
put
go.
It on the line.
We are giving it to Paul and Kenny, and we're going to the tiebreaker. There we go. Gordon DL has put his win on the line. And the question, we will get Gordon DL to write it down. Paul and Kenny, once he's written it down, I'll get you to say your answer. The question is, how many competitive career appearances did Russell Martin make as a player? How many competitive career appearances did Russell Martin make as a player? Gordon DL has written his down. Paul and Kenny, what are you going for?
462.
You have gone for 462. Gordon DL, hold that up. You have gone for 378. Paul and Kenny have done it. Yes. I am delighted.
How many was it?
It was 587.
No, I'm only kidding.
Somehow you have
You're getting half a ball.
You have clinched defeat from the jaws of victory.
I'm terrible.
Gordon DL has lost 3 of 4 games in this summer league. Quite incredible. And I honestly couldn't be happier at the way it worked out as well.
I shouldn't have put my reputation on there, because I'm terrible at tiebreakers.
That's what happens when you beat Cocky, DL.
There we go. Kenny has his redemption as well.
Oh, well
after
done,
losing
boys.
To Ross McCormack earlier on in the week.
He beat me as well. He's beat me as well, anyway.
Ross McCormack's beaten you as well?
No, Gordon Dale.
Oh, Gordon Dale's beaten you before. Oh, there we go.
To be fair, use no down, deep down inside, I beat yous again. Two yous. Boom. See yous later, and I gave you a wee chance.
Nah, it's Paul and Kenny's. Paul and Kenny's all day long.
Mate, you
all
know
day
it's
long.
Not.
Well done to Paul and Kenny. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's speak to Laurie, who's up next. Laurie, what have you got for us tonight?
Panel, good evening. I was saying to Ross there, the producer, you know, there's a lot of conjecture and speculation about who Celtic may or may not sign. That's part and parcel, of course, of the closed season. They've probably been associated or affiliated with no fewer than maybe 50 players thus far. And we're only a couple of days into the transfer window. As far as I'm concerned, the most important signing Celtic can make is to get Brendan Rodgers round the table and to extend his contract after his third year expires next May for a further year or a further 2 years. He easily is the most important person in our club. In my estimation, he's the best manager we've had since the Blessed Martin, and before him, the legendary and incomparable Jock Stein. Russell Martin was appointed. I was in a programme several weeks ago, and I had...
Well, Laurie, I'll put that point to Gordon, first of all, just about Brendan Rodgers and his contract. He has 1 year left on his deal. Brendan Rodgers was asked quite a few times, I think, towards the end of the season about his future. There was maybe some ambiguity at comments he'd made at one point, and then he made it very clear he is the Celtic manager for the upcoming season. He will see out his contract. Can you see why Celtic fans like Laurie would want clarity on his future beyond that year? Or is it a case of he's still got a year, there's no need to panic about anything?
No, I agree with Laurie. I think if you're a Celtic fan and you've sat back and watched what Brendan Rodgers has achieved since he's come back, he's won the Celtic fans over. There's no doubt about that, because there's a lot of doubters and we had them on this programme. I think they'd be disappointed that they didn't win the treble, but congratulations to Aberdeen, the Scottish Cup victory. I think he is a very, very good coach and manager. In fact, I would say he was right up there. He's got the experience, everything about him. And I think that if he did see out his year and then happened to leave, I think it'd be very difficult to replace him, Andrew, in the circumstances of Celtic Football Club. So I wouldn't be surprised if those negotiations or talks or at this moment in time are getting put out there with Brendan, maybe having a chat with him, having, you know, to see what his feelings are. Maybe Brendan Rodgers is relaxed in his situation and saying, no, I've said I'm going to be the manager, I'll stay here next year, I'll see what happens next year, and then we can deal with it. Sometimes that happens, but we seen with Postecoglou, didn't we? You know, right up until the cup final, everybody was wondering, is he going to go or is he going to stay here? And the Celtic fans were a bit, you know, devastated when the news came out that Postecoglou was leaving.
He still had a contract at that point, but is it just the question marks hanging over the head? Is that something that Celtic fans and Celtic wouldn't want going into the latter stages of next season?
And I mentioned Postecoglou, when you're successful, and even up in Scotland, and especially with Celtic, if Brendan Rodgers goes and wins the league next year, and he's in course for another treble, or he's improving players and he's selling players on, like when he come in, Matt O'Riley, players like that, then obviously people are going to notice the situation and they come calling. It's as simple and straightforward as that. So yeah, if I was a Celtic fan, I would probably prefer it if I read the paper tomorrow and Brendan Rodgers was signed another 2 year deal or a 3 year extension, whatever it may be. Because you want to keep planning, you want to keep building. And I think the Celtic fans enjoy their football under Brendan Rodgers. I think they believe he's the right man to take them forward, especially if they're going to be have any success in Europe. He does improve young players. So he's a perfect fit just now for Celtic. But Brendan Rodgers, I say, may just be comfortable enough to say, I'm happy with the situation, we'll just concentrate next year.
Well, thank you to Laurie. We'll have to leave that there because I want to tell you about this. Yeah, listen up, because Make Me a Winner could change your bank balance beyond your wildest dreams. Over £500,000 could be all yours, and just in time for the weekend as well. Enter now, and tomorrow you could win £538,000. To enter and get 100 entries, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or for one entry, text YES to 61025. Text are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or call 03434 269 340. Calls are also charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entries and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5 p.m. tomorrow. You don't want to miss the deadline. Then after that, if we ring you, just answer your phone and £538,000 will hit your bank account right after the call. So text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025. We just had Gordon DL lose on Beat the Pundit.
No, I didn't. There. I won. I gave a ball away. Listen, it's pre-season. It's fun. They two lads have been beaten by Ross McCormack. You've got to cheer them up somewhere along the line. How do you think they feel? I beat them 5-4 and then I gave them an opportunity.
Your head's still on the beach?
With Simon Murray, that was incredible.
One thing that amazed me about your recent holiday that you're just back from is that we were in the office a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you were speaking to one of the staff members in here and saying to them that you were going away to Tenerife,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to get in touch with George Bowie because he was running a GBX event over in Tenerife. And what age are you, Gordon?
44. That's
add 20.
No, don't add 20. You get yourself back the way, let me tell you. Okay, I'm not spring chicken.
We'll add 20.
No, we won't add 20.
And you said that you were wanting free entry. Got to be free guest entry list. For Gordon DL, guest list we'll call it, for this GBX event over in Tenerife.
Yeah.
And I said to you, do you think that's the type of thing you'd really want to go to?
Yeah.
And you said yes. I think mainly because it was free.
Yeah.
So you were there on the day of the event.
Yeah, I was.
And you decided to phone up George that evening.
Yeah.
He was... to ask him what time he was on at. You phoned him at what, 5:30 in the evening?
Yeah.
George was still at Glasgow Airport. You were expecting him to come on at what, 7:30 at night? He was on at 2 a.m. He was still at Glasgow Airport by the time you phoned him.
When I spoke to him on the phone, I could not believe he turned around and says, I'm actually just in Glasgow Airport. I thought, hold on a minute here. This has got to be a long, long night. And let me assure you, it certainly was.
What time did you go home at?
About 4 or something.
Fair play. Right, let's move on from that, because all this week we have been dishing out the Super Scoreboard Awards. We've been looking back on the season and Super Scoreboard and giving our take on the awards, some of the best moments on the show. Last night it was Caller of the Season. The nominations were... it wasn't Caller of the Season, was it, last night? It was Gaff of the Season.
Which gaff?
We did last night. So it was biggest, you know, mistake of the season.
And who was in the running?
It was you.
No.
Were one of them, dressed up as a chicken, falling off that very chair there.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah,
Scott Allen for breaking this TV behind us.
Right.
Gordon Duncan for just forgetting to book a pundit. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Where he was Marvin Bartley.
Yeah. And it was just him and Jim Duffy in the studio, and Roger Hanna had to answer the call. Or caller Matt from Pollock for confusing the 49ers.
I know
with
who
the 69ers.
Won that. Listen, if it's not 69ers, then it's not a chance.
The winner of the award was, with 48% of the vote, Matt in Pollock. And I tell you what, he's on the line right now. Matt, how often have you been reminded of that moment?
Oh, every day in work, all the boys gave me stick. They might know what I was dreaming of when I phoned in.
I want to know what you were doing.
I don't want to know what Matt was dreaming of. And the thing is, right, I think it was a genuine mistake from you, Matt, was it?
Yes, because one of my sons keeps telling me to stay off of Twitter, Facebook, because press buttons and I don't know what I'm doing.
Let's hope he's not typing stuff like that in anyway. Right, we will congratulate Matt on his award, and now it's time to move on to the next award. That is for Moment of the Season. Here are the nominations.
If you think I'm letting this segment of the show pass without speaking on behalf of Motherwell fans everywhere and exposing you as Howler of the Weekend for that, whatever it was, after the goal, you're dreaming. You're my Howler tonight and every night. Explain yourself.
Oh, no.
I could.
Push me off.
ACDC!
There you go. There's a big presentation for you. I tried to cut it. I've now sprained my wrist. Give us the verdict here. The tension.
He likes it,
I'm worried that if he doesn't, I think I'll fall out with him if he doesn't. You're not convinced. I thought everyone just loved it. Oh no, he's not impressed, right? You want the rest of that?
All right.
You're an embarrassment.
I'm sure, okay.
Honestly, and get that shared on Super Scoreboard's page. Get a vote on that.
So those are the nominations. I should probably add some context to them because you can see all the videos online. Some of the noises that were coming out of those videos, I should probably add some context to. The first one, Andy Halliday for not celebrating after scoring against Rangers. He got it tight, didn't he, on the Monday?
Well, he got it tight off of everybody.
Oh, he did, indeed. Two of these are you as well. One of them, which was the one with the funny noises that you may have heard, Gordon DL for ziplining across the Olympic Stadium in Munich. You basically had to be forced, you had to be pushed off of that.
Couldn't step off it. I literally couldn't step up. And it was a lady from Scotland somewhere that decided I've had enough of you and just pushed me. And woof.
Are you glad you did it?
No, at all.
No.
I'd never do it again.
Sometimes with these things, once someone actually does it, they think, oh, you know what, actually wasn't as bad as I thought.
Well, put into context as well that I'm frightened of heights, which didn't help me. And it was the top of the Munich Stadium. So it wasn't a good moment.
So was it that? Was it Gordon DL ziplining while we were all over in Germany for the Euros? Was it Marvin Bartley trying square sausage for the first time?
I was still on the show.
That revelation that he'd never tried it before after being in Scotland for a decade was genuinely, I could not believe that whatsoever. Then he tried it. Producer John was the one that then made it for him, burnt it to a crisp. He didn't get the full, didn't really get the full picture of what it was, but Marvin Bartley didn't like it anyway. Or uncovering the video of Gordon DL singing karaoke.
That's when I was Raith Rovers manager and they invited me up on the stage. It was a band. I think they went on to bigger and better things, and I was delighted to help them out that night.
So you've got basically like a 2-4, 1-2 chance of 50% chance of winning this.
Yeah, I had a 50% chance of winning Beat the Bundit. It didn't happen, didn't it?
That is true. Sure. You've already had to do one acceptance speech as well this week for these awards.
Yeah, what did they win again?
Oh,
the worst.
Worst answer on Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit. Yeah. So things aren't looking good for me pre-season, I've got to say.
No, not a great start, really. But
producer John's not happy with the amount of balls I'm giving away.
Genuinely came in during the break and was annoyed that Gordon DL has given away another ball there. But anyway.
It's a holiday.
You lost, that was it. You're in the holiday spirit. Right, you can watch the video of all those moments on our social media channels, and more importantly, you can vote for them as well on our socials. On X, it's at ClydeSSB. On Instagram, it's at Clyde1SSB. We will reveal the winner tomorrow night, and that will be the final award that is dished out. What one gets your vote out of those four, Gordon?
I think Andy Halliday.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to give it to Halliday. You know, scores in the semi-final. For his Motherwell, beloved Motherwell, he kisses a badge, and it's because it's against Glasgow Rangers. Nah, Halliday for me, all day long.
I can't imagine there was ever... Was there ever a goal that you did a sort of... Any of that?
Oh, no, not at all. Any goal, I loved. I couldn't care who it was against. So... No, not.
I imagine actually you'd be doing the opposite. To the opposition fans.
I would be giving it loudy, as they say in Scotland.
Right, to make sure to tune in tomorrow night, you'll find out the winner of our final Super Scoreboard Award. We'll be here from 6 o'clock, and it is fixture day tomorrow as well. You'll find out who your club is facing on the opening weekend of the season, how the fixtures are configured, easy for me to say, when the first match between Celtic and Rangers is this campaign. So I'm sure you'll have a few thoughts on that. Thank you to Gordon DL in the studio, who is refreshed from his time away. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for getting involved on the phones as well and on social media. And it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.